Are you someone who makes their own biltong? I particularly love biltong. I want it with simple seasoning, not too wet, never dry. I want them to also cut it in paper thin slices. So just so that it can melt in your mouth. If you make biltong, I want to hear from you about your technique. On the line to us, because we also talk food on Fridays, I'm joined by Maxine Jones. She's a student at Stellenbosch University. Now, she did her doctorate in food sciences from Stellenbosch University biltong, the process of creating good quality biltong, and just some of the aspects that are involved in creating biltong. And this has also developed into a business that her parents are running. She joins us on the line because I wanted to know more about how what she's picked up from doing her research, from her doctoral studies. But if you make your own biltong, how do you go about it? And what makes for perfect biltong? I definitely don't like unusual seasoning. I don't like my biltong with coriander or anything that is out of the ordinary. Just very simple seasoning. Maxine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So why was this an area of focus? Because biltong is such a much-loved treat in South Africa. What led you there?
Well, as you said, it's a much-loved treat, and I myself am a biltong lover.
Mm-hmm.
And being in the meat science, you know, area of research, and realizing that there's a lack of research on biltong, I thought, you know what, why don't I put these two together, my love of research and love of biltong, and find out more about this product.
Yes, and this has gone on to deliver some really great benefits for you and your family. But let's look at the process what goes into creating biltong.
Yes, what we looked at, the main aspect we looked at was the drying.
Yeah.
So we looked at, you know, the temperature, the humidity needed, the air movement. We looked at more on a commercial scale, but the principles still apply, you know, on a homemaker scale.
Mm-hmm.
And then we, as you said, used a simple seasoning. We didn't add anything fancy, but again, that's also from a science point of view, so that we could, you know, look at our results more accurately.
Yeah.
And then we also looked at the microbial stability of it, you know, the shelf life and all of that, because that's important in biltong. Because
yeah.
We say, you know, it lasts, you know, 6 months, sometimes, you know, a year. But there's no research to actually say, you know, that's correct. So that's, you know, all the aspects we looked at in the research.
Right. Because, you know, looking at biltong, you sometimes see different types of mold on it. So I suspect in the process, the longer it stands, that yeast, mold and maybe bacteria is likely to also settle on the biltong.
Yeah, no, that's true. Sometimes, though, some consumers, it's not actually mold that we're seeing. It's a white residue, which is salt that's been drawn out of the meat, and it shows up on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also another thing that we saw quite a bit in the study. So it would be interesting to actually make consumers aware of this, that sometimes it's not mold, sometimes it's the salt. So that also came out in the study.
Right. So what kind of conditions are conducive or are required to deliver good quality biltong? Because I imagine, as you said, it's a drying process. And in order for that to happen in a safe way, because this also brings about food safety issues, what needs to be in the environment?
Well, a moderate temperature works best. So that's about 25 degrees.
Okay.
We could call that a room temperature.
Mm.
Usually if it's too hot, you know, then that's conducive to microbial growth. And then also if it's lower than that, then it's going to take a long time to dry. And then sometimes, you know, it's a bit too long. So moderate temperatures are the best. And then the humidity also, the weather in terms of homemakers, the weather plays a huge role.
Mm.
Because, you know, that changes the humidity in the air. So a moderate 30 to 40% humidity actually works really well.
Okay. And there isn't really much that changes the consistency. Before we get on to the sort of quality and the standards that we find in the retailers, when it comes to being able to deliver consistency, it must, all of these issues, all of these aspects must contribute to that. So ensuring that you're able to have the same temperature, the same type of humidity and air movement is key.
Yeah, so that's basically what we're saying, because obviously if there's variation, then there's going to be variation in your end product.
Yeah.
But those are just some of the factors. Then, you know, you can go into, you know, like the type of meat you use, You can go into, you know, how you cut the meat. There's many factors, but I think the drying is one of the most important to consider.
Let's talk about the cuts of meat then. Some people love theirs with a good trim of fat. And I get annoyed when I get a piece that has a lot of sinew in it. So which cuts are the best?
Well, silver side and top side are obviously the best. Mm-hmm. But it also depends on the quality of meat. So, you know, you must try go for a lot of people use the lesser quality for their biltong.
Right.
And obviously you still get some good biltong out of that. But if you want a consistent biltong, a good quality, so, you know, an A grade, B grade meat,
mm-hmm.
that will get you a nice consistent biltong.
Mm. So what is the status quo, the situation at the moment when it comes to food safety? Are you finding that a lot of people are adhering to food safety standards?
In terms of the industry?
Yes.
Yeah, no, the food safety standards, they do adhere to them.
Mm-hmm.
By applying more, you know, rigorous processing guidelines and things, we will be able to, you know, just confirm that we have these food safety regulations in place. It's not that they're not, you know, adhering to these or anything. It's just that with further regulations, this would confirm this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how do you like your biltong?
I like my biltong moist, you know, so not dry.
Yeah.
And I enjoy a piece of fat on there. Uh-huh. I think it gives it a bit extra flavor.
Mm. Now, let's look at the opportunities that have come about since you did your doctoral studies. You've managed to travel. There's a business that has come out of it as well. So it's probably taken you in a direction that you didn't expect.
Well, I'm not sure about the business part. I don't know where we don't have a business out of this yet.
Okay, yeah.
But the opportunities have been great. The exposure about the research and about biltong has also been fabulous. I'm fascinated about how interested the South Africans are, and I'm so glad to hear that they want to know more about biltong.
Mm-hmm. So you've traveled, you've been giving talks, different parts of the country, people really interested in potentially having this as a greater export.
And I'm so glad because this awareness has made, you know, South African consumers and the international markets, mm-hmm. you know, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for me, it's been a great opportunity, as well as I think the South Africa may benefit from it too.
Yeah. We were talking about rooibos recently on the show, the immense benefits that it has. And you did the pairing as well using rooibos tea extracts. How did that turn out?
Yes, I added a rooibos tea extract to a durable.
Mm-hmm.
This was for both, you know, the flavor as well as to try and enhance the shelf life. And it was amazing because at different concentrations, the rooibos tea extract acted either as a pro-oxidant or an antioxidant.
Right.
So it's amazing, you know, what rooibos tea extract actually, you know, the benefits as well as, you know, what it can do to a product. So it is a very interesting study. And I think that we should look further into the use of rooibos tea extract.
Mm. There are a couple of questions, Maxine. Let's hear from Kobus in Randburg. Hello, Kobus.
Hi. I love the topic, and I love biltong, so I'm very, very pleased to hear you guys talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I have a question regarding beef biltong and how I found it. At certain places, you'll have biltong that has a fat that is almost translucent and almost oily.
Yeah.
And at other times, even at the same shop, you'll have biltong that is more opaque and white, solid. Has your investigation into this found a reason for it, or a possible reason for that, or not? Not really.
Differences in the fat, Maxine?
Well, usually the fat color and, you know, the oiliness of the fat is due to the type of meat they use. So as I was saying, if they use an A-grade meat versus a C-grade meat. So that's usually what the fat can tell you.
Indication of that. Ah.
So when you see it either in the same retailer or other retailers, it depends on their suppliers. But usually the fat is an indication of the quality of the meat used.
So if it's translucent, is that poor quality?
Translucent? No. It's when it's the nice white fat.
Yeah.
That's usually a good quality fat. But it doesn't mean that the yellow fat has a different taste.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want a nice flavor, then, you know, the more yellow fat is nice. But the white fat also, you know, has a nice flavor, but it's a bit better quality meat.
Ah, okay. That's an indication, you know, there. There's a tweet here from Tim saying that his grandfather used to make it, left it in the sun for days, and then it tasted delicious. What about the drying in sunlight? Is that advisable?
Well, I mean, it works. And as I said, you know, it depends on the length of drying depends on the temperature and all of that. Mm-hmm. And in the sun, you probably got a very nice, you know, amount of air movement to help the drying. So in terms of the drying, it is perfect. But in terms of the microbial quality, you know, I hope that they ate it, you know, within a reasonable amount of time.
Okay. So within a year?
No, less. I would assume if he just left it out there in the sun.
Yeah.
I think that maybe within a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months.
Oh, to be eaten.
Not a year.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, and all of the best. I hope that we go on
Thank
to see more from this interesting study, the work that you've been doing on biltong, Maxine.
Yes. Thank you for your interest, and thank you for the call.
That is Maxine Jones. She has a PhD in biltong. She did her doctorate in food sciences from Stellenbosch University. And as she says, it's taken her to interesting places. In fact, she traveled recently to Mauritius, and she's been giving talks as well, taken from Namibia, for instance. There was also a talk at the University of Netherlands where there was great interest, and there was also a conference in Thailand. So maybe the world is curious enough for this to be a greater export. The export opportunities can further be developed for South African producers of biltong. Maxine Jones there, talking biltong.